We're going to continue our series on the I Ams with Jesus. And today we're going to be talking about one of the most boldest claims he makes. I am the resurrection and the life. But before we get there, you know, this weekend is Memorial Day weekend. And one of the interesting facts I read this week is, did you realize that many believe the first Memorial Day act was done right here in Charleston, South Carolina? Memorial Day really began after the Civil War. And the freed slaves, they say over 1,000, came into Charleston, and where the graves of the Union soldiers were, they put flowers and decorated them and honored them. It was on May 1st, 1865. And then 3 years later, in 1868, New York became the first state in the Union to recognize Memorial Day. And if you're old, like I am, you can remember when Memorial Day was always celebrated on May the 30th, all the way up to 1970, if you remember. And then in 71, they changed it to the last Monday of the month. But Memorial Day is a time to honor and remember our military that sacrificed their lives for the freedom we have today to gather and to worship. And so we're very grateful for the men and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. And many gather today or on this weekend for parades that take place. Not as many as it used to be in our country. I can remember when it used to be every city had a parade, a Memorial Day parade. And many will gather around at some veteran statue or area in the city and take a moment to remember. I don't know if you realize this or not, but by law, now we're required as Americans to stop at 3 o'clock on Monday and pause and just remember the families who lost loved ones. I think that was established in the year 2000 by Congress. But it's a time just to think. And I was thinking, you know, wonder what Jesus may have done if Jesus came up on a parade, or maybe came up on a time where they were pausing and remembering and offering a prayer for the families that lost loved ones for Memorial Day. What might Jesus have said? Well, you know, if you kind of go back and think about it, Jesus would say some of the most profound things in moments and times in the as Israel celebrated their festivals. Like we looked at, even in this series, as we're looking at Feast of Tabernacles, when they were celebrating their freedom from Egypt and traveling to the Promised Land, and how they lived in tents and how God provided. And one of the ways God provided was by light. Remember, they in the court of the women, they had four large posts that went up, and on those posts were oil vases, and they were lit and put on fire, and they would burn through the night. And at the end of the festival, as they're getting ready to put these fires out, Jesus stands up, and in the middle of the crowd, when everybody is there, he says, "I am the light of the world." And remember, we talked about the importance of that. I don't know. I would just think if Jesus were to show up, I think Jesus would say, "I am the resurrection and the life," to all those who were there to honor the military and mourn the loss of their life. For Jesus is the resurrection and the life. It's the greatest of all the claims that we look at in this series. It's the one that stands out the most. It's the boldest. But before we talk about the joy of this claim, there's some sobering news that we know, and I must tell you. And it's this, that if Jesus tarries, we will all die. But that's why this claim is so valuable and important. That Jesus is the resurrection and the life. The death of of Katie Couric. I got to move my notes from one side to the other, or I'll keep all the rest of this message, keep looking down and being on the wrong page. Forgive me. But the death of when Katie Couric, you probably all know her. I don't know, her picture may come up on the screen behind me. But from NBC News to Today Show, she lost her husband and her mother in the same year. And during that time, she made a very interesting quote. She said this. She says, "I'm very interested in exploring the more spiritual side of me. I am in the process of doing that, both formally and informally. I really envy those who have a steadfast, unwavering faith, because I think it's probably so comforting and helpful during difficult times." Someone who was searching, isn't it? Jack Nicholson, right before the release of the movie Bucket List, in an interview, was reflecting on his own life, and he said this: "I used to live so freely. The mantra for my generation was, be your own man, and always was. Hey, you can have whatever rules you want. I'm just going to have mine. I'll accept the guilt. I'll pay the check. I'll do the time. I'll choose my own way. That was my philosophy well into the 50s. But as I've gotten older, I've had to adjust." He says, we all want to go on forever, don't we? We fear the unknown. My hope and prayer is that Katie Couric and Jack Nicholson somehow encounter Jesus Christ. But those are two typical responses from people who haven't met Jesus as the resurrection and the life. I wish I could take Katie Couric and Jack Nicholson and anyone else who hasn't met Jesus and take them to the room of a saint that is leaving this life and going to the next. Because of my profession, I've had the opportunity many times to be in that room. I had a good friend that I developed a good relationship with because his wife had cancer. Her name was Marilyn Moore. And Marilyn accepted Christ during a difficult time in their marriage in her 30s. And she came home and she told her husband after a couple of weeks had gone by, she said, "Gary," she says, "I know where I'm going when I die." And Gary thought, that's the strangest thing to say. You're in your 30s, you know, why would you say that now? That's what you say when you get older. You don't say it when you're in your 30s. But she had met Christ, and Christ had changed her life, and she understood that when she died, she was going to be with him forever. As she lived her life for the Lord, it had such an impact upon Gary, he eventually gave his heart to the Lord. But in her dying moments, she got cancer 12 years ago, and she asked the Lord, she said, "God, would you grant me 10 years? The doctor said, you only have a few months left. She said, "Doctor, would you grant me 10 years? She says, "I want to see my grandchildren first." And God granted her 12 years and answered her request. But as she lay in the bed in that moment, there's just something unique about watching a believer who knows that they met Jesus leave this world and go to the next. They die with a confidence and a hope and a smile on their face that's different than somebody who does not know what's on the other side. Just a difference. And I would think that if they could see that, that would have to have an impact upon their life. You realize that what one, they say one of the big major reasons why Rome became a Christian nation or turned their heart, turned its heart to Christ, was because of watching those Christians that they put to death in the Colosseums. Because they saw how they died. Where before, there were just people running in fear and crying out and screaming and, you know, the horror, the thought of dying. The Christians would actually get down their knees and lift their hands and were worshiping God as a lion came. And it had such an effect upon the way they died that the testimony circulated throughout Rome over and over again. And people began to commit their ways to Christ because this was something different. Why else would they worship a Jewish carpenter? There had to be something in the story. This morning, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that may hit us hard. It's John 11. But this is where Jesus will say, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus is his best friend. Or at least that's what many say. His best friend is one of his friends for sure. Lazarus has become sick. And by this point, they have witnessed Jesus on a real roll, so to speak, on healing. Many have been healed recently in Jesus' ministry. The lame man who could not walk had been healed at the pool of Bethesda. The man who was born blind, his eyes were open and he could see. So now to think that Lazarus is at the point of death because of sickness, it just seems crazy, doesn't it? After all, Jesus had just said, just in chapter 9 that we just read last week, he said, "I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep." Jesus had just communicated that he's a good shepherd and he will care for those who love him and those who follow him, that he will do anything possible at all to make sure that you are cared for and loved by him. And now Lazarus is sick to the point of death. And we read in John chapter 10, it says in verse 1, "A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters Mary and Martha. This is Mary who would later pour the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wipe them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. The two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, 'Lord, your dear friend is sick.'" And listen to Jesus' response in verse 4. "But when Jesus heard about it, he said, 'Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this." Strange statement, isn't it? You would think Jesus would have responded, "Tell them I'm on my way." Or send word that he's been made whole and well. "For I prayed for Lazarus." You'd think that would be his response. But the reality is, Jesus could have gone right away. But we'll read later in the chapter, he will wait 2 more days. When he could have gone right then. And he should have gone right then. He's the great shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He will sacrifice his life for his sheep. And yet he waits. And he says the strange thing that this happened for the glory of God. And that phrase immediately reminded me of a passage we looked at earlier in this series. Do you remember it too? I mean, it's a passage that is found in John, in chapter 9, about the blind man. And it says this, As Jesus was walking along in chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been born blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It was because, Jesus is saying now, it was because of his sins or his parents' sins. It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins. Jesus answered, this happened so the power of God could be seen in him. In another translation, it says that it happened for the glory of God. That both of these events in two different people's lives took place for the glory of God. Neither one of them were good to begin with. But they happened for the glory of God. Which tells me a principle here. That when things happen in my life that don't make sense, that I don't understand, that don't seem to be the answer to the prayer that I'm praying, it's taking place for the glory of God. Because in that situation, I'm going to give God praise. I'm going to raise a hallelujah and worship the Lord. And God will get praise. That somehow, some way, that I can trust God, that God will take what is meant for my harm and turn it to my good. In John chapter 11, verse 5, we read, so although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. Again, this is the good shepherd who said he would sacrifice his life for the sheep. The good shepherd supplies all my needs. The good shepherd will sacrifice his life for me. That is what Jesus claimed. And now, when his good friend Lazarus is sick, he stays 2 more days. Why doesn't Jesus do what's expected of him? Why doesn't he leave immediately and go to Bethany and go to Lazarus' home and pray for him? I think we need to remember what Isaiah 55:9 tells us. For as far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Because God had a different plan. Because God had a plan that didn't seem to fit Mary and Martha's plans or Lazarus' plan. But God had a plan. And what would take place would be for his glory. We read on the story in verse 17. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. And when Martha got the word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. The funeral's over. Lazarus is dead. He's been buried. And Martha is grieving. And Martha says in verse 21, she says, Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not be dead. What is she saying? She's saying, Jesus, really, it's your fault. Because if you were shown up, you could have healed him. But you didn't show up, and you're not here. And I know that you're the good shepherd, but where were you? Then she makes this tremendous statement of faith. Because you often see this when we grieve, right? You see this going back and forth in a walk for a moment. And Martha makes, after this accusation, so to speak, she makes a strong confession of faith. She says this in verse 22, but even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. That's a strong statement of faith. She's saying, God, whatever you ask, I know and believe it will be done. Martha does what we should all do when we don't understand things. We should realize that whatever's being done is done for the glory of God, and that whatever God needs to do, God is able to do. Whatever God says, oh, it will take place. That I can trust God even when I don't understand the situation at the moment. Even when I don't understand what's going on around me, and I don't understand the, you know, why this is all happening, I can trust that God has the answer. And when He speaks the word, it's going to transpire. That I can wait on God, and God will supply the need, right? That I can trust in Him. In John 11:23-24, Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." Jesus' response to Martha's faith was, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha's theology is strong. She's not like the Sadducees who don't believe in a resurrection. She's like, "Yeah, I believe that God resurrects us when we die. And Jesus, I believe that there is a resurrection and that Lazarus will rise again." Paul describes that day for us in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. He says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope." It doesn't mean we don't grieve. It just means we won't grieve like those of the world. Yes, we grieve when someone dies, but we also have a hope that we know that we'll see them again. And that brings us great comfort during those times. Verse 14, "For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring him back with the believers who have died. We will tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will do what? Will come down from heaven with a commanding shout and the voice of the archangel with a trumpet of God, call of God. The first, the believers who have died, will rise from the graves." Verse 17, "Then together with them, we who are also alive and remain on earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words." Paul's telling us, this is Martha was saying, there is a day coming when the trump shall sound. Jesus Christ will return, and you and I who are living, we'll go to meet him in the air. It's called the rapture. It's going to take place. But before we go, those who are dead, their souls who are now in the presence of the Lord will be reunited in a new body, and they will go up right before us, all within a twinkling of an eye. It's really quick. If you blink, you miss it. But you won't miss it because you're going to go, "Oh, where am I?" You'll be in the presence of the Lord. Oh, very quickly. It's our great hope. It's what we look forward to. So that those that gave their life for our country who knew Jesus Christ, we will one day see again. Those in our family that are going before us who knew Jesus Christ will one day see again. There's this great hope. That's why everybody needs to hear the word. That's why everybody needs to come to faith in Jesus Christ. But Jesus told her in verse 25 and 26, here it goes. Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me, believes in me, will never ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? When Jesus makes his fifth claim, that I am, that I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus is saying this, the resurrection isn't an event, the resurrection is a person, and the person is me. And therefore, I decide who rises and who doesn't. It's my decision, and I will take those that I love and those who follow me, so to speak, I will take them home to be with me. That there is a resurrection coming. So I don't focus on the event. I focus on Christ. Because Christ is the resurrection. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. That's why in verse 26 he can say this, everyone who believes in me, or lives in me and believes in me, will never, ever die. Because it's not an event on a calendar that we're looking for. We're looking at Jesus. Our faith in Jesus. It's not only just the event on a calendar in God's heaven. No, it's in Jesus. Jesus will make the promise happen. Because my faith is in Him. God and God alone can give life. That's why we can be certain that whoever believes in Him will pass from this physical world into an eternal world the moment we die. For Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. It's the strongest of all of His titles. It means the most to all of us who are His followers. It brings great peace to us all when we face death. Now, why is it important that we as believers faith our own death? Listen to me, you need to get this in your spirit. Because how you think of death really does matter. Because how you think of death determines how you live. If you realize your home is not here, then you live differently. Because you're living for what is to come, not what happens here. You understand that this world is not all there is. That death is just a passing of this life to the next. That you have an eternal life through Jesus Christ. And your life, therefore, has purpose and meaning. That you can live life with confidence. That one day you will spend eternity with a good, good Father and His forever family. And the things of this world, they don't have a hold on you. I was talking to someone just a little while ago, and we were talking, and they were telling me about people that they know who are enjoying retirement and enjoying it well, like living on the beach in a condo. Or you realize that there are people now that retire and tell their kids, we'll come see you. You don't have to worry about coming to see us. And they just get on a cruise ship and they live on the cruise ship where they're taken care of. There's even a doctor on the ship. They're fed. They're you know, everything they can want is on the cruise ship. And they just live from one cruise to the next, to the next, to the next. I think that sometimes that we live so much for this world that we don't realize there's another world to come that's far better. Our time here is short. If I don't have the money one day to live on a cruise, if I don't have the money one day to retire in the villages in Florida and ride my golf cart in Florida heaven, I got something far greater waiting. I'm not living for this world. Death doesn't scare me. It's not the end. There's something far greater because Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. that Jesus can grant to each one of us his resurrection power. Read the last, put the last scripture up there, Case, from John chapter 11, at the end, towards the end of the chapter, where Jesus speaks and Lazarus comes forth. Verse 43, then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out! And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in headcloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. And many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. Now, why did Jesus do that? Was that for Lazarus' benefit? No! Can I tell you? Lazarus was glad where he was at that moment. Right? He probably didn't want to come back. You know, he's enjoying the presence of God. You know, he's enjoying his reward. And all of a sudden he says, oh, come back here, Lazarus. Still have something else for you to do down here on earth. Hello? Come out, Lazarus. Just one more minute, Jesus. No. He comes out back to life. He's all wrapped up. I picture him walking like this, you know, just trying to get out. They come, untie him, unwrap him. And Jesus says, this is what I meant when I said it's for the glory of God. Because I am demonstrating to you that when I said I am the resurrection and the life, you can believe me. I am the resurrection and the life. People who are dead in the grave for 3 days do not come back to life. But through Christ, they do. Because Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. So Lazarus came out of that grave because Jesus called him forth. Wouldn't you want to be at their house that night for dinner? Because I'm sure Lazarus has some things to tell them that blew their mind about what's on the other side. And they went, whoa. You ever read one of those books where somebody has died and going to heaven and come back, you know? I don't know sometimes how true they all are. I like to think they're all true. But wow, the stories that people can tell. They have literally died and come back to life. The story that Lazarus told must have been amazing. And Jesus must have been sitting in the corner laughing. And going, see Lazarus, I am the resurrection. You don't have to fear death anymore. For I am life.